Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shannon Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you'll receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and I spend most of my time yelling at children, I feel like. And every once in a while, I play Crucible Guard.
Wow, I was expecting a study comment there.
Oh, I would love to study, but instead I spend all my time dealing with children.
So, I just got back from going to Five Guys with Joe.
Uh-huh.
And I have a deep love of Five Guys.
As you should.
And we were there, and I just don't understand how the human race has survived to this point. Like, if I had some of the children that were in that restaurant, either I would have killed myself, or I don't know.
I'm going to piss off a bunch of people right now, but I feel as a parent that many children who are like that, their parents have self-inflicted it upon themselves.
Right.
It is a matter of parenting choices. And I'm sure I'll get hate mail or whatever. I don't care. I feel like...
You say that. But when the hate mail comes, it will still ring your bell.
Hate mail about child? No, I don't care. I feel like that there's a lot of it that parents either are their... apathetic, or they don't know how to deal with it. They're just ill-equipped. Like, there's no user manual on how to be a parent.
I would certainly be ill-equipped.
No.
That is the case.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm not trying to blame the parents as much as I'm trying to say that I feel like a lot of it is...
It was preventable.
Perhaps. It was preventable, yes. Yeah.
I
say that when I come from a household where I'm a disciplinarian, I make sure my children obey, they're very good in public, but I walked away from the house wanting to strangle all three of them.
I have a story about my children that I can share.
Okay.
So, Brian's cat, Lucy, is...
Which one's this one?
She's the black cat.
And she's the younger one, right?
No, she's ancient.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was your cat that was ancient.
No. Brian's cat is ancient. She's about 19 years old now.
Okay.
And so she started throwing up a lot.
Ooh.
And so, and she's a super happy cat. Like, she...
She's 19. It's time for her to go out on her own.
she
can vote.
She spends most of the time sleeping.
Sure.
When she... you know, sits next to me, she just purrs like crazy. She's super happy. So Brian's like, okay, we have to try switching up their food. So up to this point, we had been just leaving out their dry cat food, left out for them to eat whenever, however they wanted.
Yeah, the trough style.
Yes. And so he's like, these days are over.
Oh, no.
And so twice a day, they get some wet cat food.
Okay.
And it did stop the puking.
Okay.
And now it's getting mixed in with dry food, gets mixed in, etc. But the thing that's funny about it is that, you know, this black cat who has been just sleeping all the time, etc., her energy level has gone up about 10 times what it was, because she'll be up and she's like, I'm about to die. Yeah, no, where's the food?
I must eat now.
Oh, dang.
And like at 6:45 in the morning, she is walking all over us and meowing at us. And
see, that's the benefit of children. My children feed themselves. Like 100%, if we did not come home for dinner, they would find something to eat. You know, generally dinner time is the time where they need help the most. But breakfast, lunch, they're good. They got it.
So.
And I'm Josh Wheeler. I'd appreciate your vote on November 5th.
Jeez. There is nobody in earshot.
I'm listening.
It's not and already voting for you. I'll continue
working hard to be your voice for Ammon.
How many doors have you knocked so far?
Actually, I mean, only like in the low hundreds at this point, you know. Not a ton.
Okay.
There's not tons of houses to knock on, period.
Well, I mean, there's theoretically 3,000-ish.
3,000 doors?
Houses, yeah.
How many people are in?
There's just under 16,000 residents, but like almost half, actually over half of those are children.
Right.
Right.
So
there's, need, there's,
you know,
there's approximately, don't need their votes. There's approximately 6,000 to 7,000 voters,
mm-hmm.
and there's less than half of those that are actually going to show up.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Just so we're clear on what's going to happen here.
I've calculated that I need 182 man hours if I'm going to knock the door of every voter who voted last time.
Do you have a list of who voted?
Uh-huh. Like, are
you
you're
going to just those houses?
No, but
you should. That's I probably that is, should. That is an appropriate expenditure of time.
The listening tour has been spending the first couple weeks of the campaign just listening.
So has there been anything that people have said other than their water meter?
There have been other things, but nothing like the volume goes to 11 the 90/10, on water
meter. The 90/10 ratio is in effect.
Yes, you know. There's some comments on growth and infrastructure, you know, but like you're like got to listen real hard to hear that over the metering. So
if you subscribe to the dojo, you can hear about such riveting topics.
Oh, I forgot that was a dojo, wasn't it?
As water metering in Ammon,
the city
Idaho.
Of Ammon, Idaho.
Didn't that go live this last Sunday?
Probably. I don't know.
We have
I've lost track.
We have
of
an
it.
Archive of hundreds of episodes that are amazing.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
And then we have that
the
one.
Specific, yeah, the I'm specifically talking about the worst dojo we've ever made.
Whoa.
I mean, I think it was pretty riveting radio myself.
I mean, the bar is low. It was difficult to get under it. but we managed.
Okay, well, why don't we start off with Josh cracking some whips
in
the community builders.
That's right. Listen. As a man who's currently reaching out to his local community, we got to do better here, team. This week's Community Builder post is on being a good online citizen. Official nominations for people who have shown excellent manners, composure, or citizenship in the greater online community can be posted here. Current number of nominations? Absolute zero.
The goose egg.
I'm
embarrassed.
So we're sometimes it happens, you know. Sometimes these things happen. Sometimes. So we're going to just pause this week, and we're going to give everybody another week. And encourage everybody to find some of those great online citizen posts.
I'm pinning it to the top so that it should
so that
be.
We'll look at it again.
It should be smart. Even it's currently set as an announcement. So an announcement means that if you go into the group, any post labeled as an announcement, you will see once. Once Facebook has determined that you've seen it, it will no longer show up at the top. It will show up wherever it is. Now that it's pinned, it will show up at the top every time. So you guys basically have 1 week to fix your problem.
Get with it.
Yeah. Pick Sweet. Somebody. Get
okay,
them
Josh.
Some cool stuff.
I'm very excited because you've previewed to me that the Stink Doom meme is by one Matthew Iglesias on Twitter.
I am amazed.
And as a little side note, Mr. Iglesias is one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter, although I can only recommend him if you like having the floodgates opened up.
Oh, of tweets?
Yes.
You know what would be interesting
he's,
is to have like
he
is
easily
a tweet off between him and John Scalzi.
Oh,
he would bury Scalzi?
He's about six times more so
Holy
than Scalzi.
Sheesh. I stopped following Scalzi.
Because of that, right?
I mean, I
Scalzi's...
He's kind of actually
calmed
slowed
down.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So I stopped. It's been a while, but I follow Scalzi because I love his writing. But truthfully, him and me politically, we don't match up. But that was
at
okay.
All.
I don't.
His sense of humor is still good. In
I don't yeah. mind that. That's right. I follow lots of people who don't follow my ideology. That's fine. That's yeah. not the issue. The issue is that it was a constant stream of Scalzi. Like I'd look through my Twitter stream and I'm like, I can't see any of the other people I want to see because it's Scalzi from top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, my Twitter feed on an average day, I would guess, is probably around 200 to 250 tweets.
Uh-huh.
And probably 60 to 75% is him, Iglesias.
Really?
Probably,
Holy
yeah.
crap.
I might be overestimating.
I can't handle that. I don't mind people who tweet a reasonable amount, but there's a point where I'm like, all right, you know what? There's too much.
Unfollow.
There's too much, you know, noise in this signal right now, and I just need to.
I would unfollow him, but I actually almost all of his tweets I like. So
he's funny. Like, I find him amusing quite a bit. So he has brought us a funny side note today.
He's a journalist for Vox Media,
right?
And his favorite book is Dune, and his second favorite book is one of the Dune sequels. And it goes down the list. So he loves Dune.
So
occasionally that will slip into his tweets.
He has crafted a tweet here that is, this thing's been going around where it's like, stop commenting on such and such a thing, and it will have a list of like half a dozen things. And it will say, like, this thing's good because of this. This thing's good because of this. This thing's good because of this, right? And then it will skip one of them.
Right.
Like, say no comment, and then have a final thing. So that is this flavor of tweet.
I wrote one of those that I'm going to have to share with
you. Oh, I'm excited for it. Okay, that'll be a little follow-up. But I will read here, with editing, the Matthew Iglesias Dank Dune meme. Here he goes. He says, Dune is the greatest book of all time. Dune Messiah is a worthy sequel. Children of Dune is pretty good. God Emperor of Doom has a blanking human sandworm hybrid. That's where I stopped reading as a kid. Heretics of Dune. Chapter House Dune features weird stuff about space Jews.
Holy crap, that's how far it goes off the rails?
Oh yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, like I said, as a kid, I lost it at God Emperor of Dune because I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and that's the considered the good one of the, right. of the weird ones.
Right, right, of the weird ones. Yeah, yeah.
I am looking forward to getting back to actually reading. So
that will be good.
School's over.
This is my Dank Dune meme for you, Jay.
One book every year or two?
No, when I was reading, I read probably a book every 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, that's actually...
I mean, I was
quite good.
There were some books that would take me longer. It depend on. I read Hunger Games in 2 days.
Ooh.
I mean, not that it's a long book, but I'm saying if I'm enjoying the book, I don't put it down.
Well, I'm used to your stories of like you picking up a book, it being one that you don't get into, and refusing to put it down.
Yeah, I mean those.
And then falling asleep.
But even in the years where
for years,
even in the years where I pick those up, those only take up like 2 or 3 months, and I'll catch up when I'm done. So.
Man, I'm currently doing that. I need to just admit who I am and open up the new Joe Abercrombie book that I've
Have you read his previous trilogy? The, like Half a King?
Yes, the young adult one.
Oh, I didn't realize it was young adult.
Yeah, it's young adult.
Is it good?
It's pretty fun. Yeah, it's this.
So like, I'm assuming if it's young adult, it must not be like how can Joe Abercrombie write a young adult novel?
That's basically why I read it, because I was like, I gotta see how this works.
And did it?
Yeah. He definitely is not.
He's definitely as not Joe,
brutal,
Joe Abercrombie.
But you can still feel it. Yeah.
Okay.
No. So.
Okay. So, Trevor, you might need to plug your ears for this one.
Oh, dang.
What are you giving?
He's
spoilers?
Giving us a bonus Dank Dune meme.
It's not a Dune meme.
That's not Dune related. It's the same style.
Yeah, it's the same style of meme as the.
The one we just read, right?
Yeah. But it's an anti-conservative meme.
No. It's actually it was written after the last Democratic debate, and so it actually kind of pokes fun at them.
I actually wrote this, Jay?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited! All right, lay it on us.
Okay, Bernie Sanders is stalwart. Elizabeth Warren articulate. Pete Buttigieg groundbreaking. Biden. And then the last one is Cory Booker is compassionate.
That was pretty tame, and also it was really good. On point.
Okay, so new stuff coming out. There was a bit of a tragedy at Muse HQ.
Oh, what? For real?
Yes. So Nigel, bless his heart.
Long may he reign.
Yes. He's been doing some awesome work on the Steamroller zones that are the officially licensed faction zones. And he was getting close to done with the circles set, and he lost the file somehow. And I don't have any fucking idea how this happens. And he doesn't either. But here we are. So he was like, I could actually, like, once I get over my butt hurt of what's happened, I'll be able to get through it pretty quickly.
The butt hurt of having lost the file, yes, you're saying?
Yeah. Having to repeat the work. It's always faster to repeat a task once you've, especially a creative one, once you've kind of broken ground on it or done it before. So instead, he moved on to Signar. And the Signar zones should be up probably by the time this is live, if not
sooner. Sounds like a Signar plot to me.
It kind of does, yeah. Julian had to secure his support. I bet you didn't even realize that the king of Signar is Julian right now, did you?
I did not. I'd forgotten. Okay. Let's say that I've forgotten.
Cool stuff from Discount Games Inc. We have Oblivion in stock now. It's been a really good product, in my opinion.
Sorry, this is a little unrelated to Oblivion, but is Riot Quest out of, like, print everywhere else? Oh, no, I shouldn't say out of print, but out of stock everywhere?
Not, well,
I've heard that it's kind of sold out a lot of places.
So,
is it sold out of Discount Games Inc.?
Discount Games Inc. has it in stock.
Okay, thank you.
For other people or places, I don't know if distributors ordered very heavy on Riot Quest.
Okay.
And so I would not be surprised if several distributors were out of stock on it, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, most stores are not set up direct from Privateer Press.
Right.
And so, you know, that's likely a chain of events that is happening. But we have all of the blisters in stock right now, and we have the core game in stock as well.
I wish I knew.
Once we're done with our Oblivion stuff, we'll have to actually play some Riot Quest and
sure
get your guys' opinion on it.
Yeah, I'm merely asking because I'm trying to figure out, decide whether or not I should buy a whole box set for a single model.
Yeah, you should.
Oh, which is which is Dez,
yeah.
Dez or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you and I should just split a box set.
Is there a single model in there you would need as well?
Not single, but there's Minions models that I'm sure eventually, someday, you will help me conceive of a super janky list, and I will want to put it on the table.
Is there a Minion model in there?
Yeah. There's the Gobber one, and the Tinker Lady is one.
Oh, geez. So, like, the worst of the group. Yeah. Are
models? And honestly, it's a game that you should try out with your son.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, it would be okay at that age, you think?
And how old is he now?
He's 6, going on 7.
Is he a gaming prodigy?
He is not as savvy as his older brother, but he's in the vein.
Okay. You
know, like,
I mean, I think you would probably enjoy it.
Yeah, I probably will. It might be a good Christmas present, but yeah. I might need to get a box set so I can try it out ahead of
time. Yeah, obviously.
You know, ready.
You need to have, I mean, the one of the complaints some people have had is that the starter box is basically a starter box for one person. Interesting.
Oh, yeah, that is kind
of
tough.
Like, there's not enough in there to play two-player right out of the box?
No, there's not at all.
Oh.
I mean, there's some things that, like, for example, the treasure chests. Only one person will use their set of treasure chests, but
right.
And honestly, even with a starter, it's not enough to play an optimized game as one player.
Yeah, sure. But you certainly can't sit down and play a full game of two players with the models.
Yeah, 0.0%. So the way that it works is you have basically a roster of up to 10 characters, and you start the game with 4 of them spawned. The starter comes with 5, and when a model dies, you can spawn one of your other characters. So if you have 6 characters that are waiting to spawn, you kind of have an advantage of being able to pick, like, okay, I think in this situation, this character would be good to have in play.
So at bare minimum, in order for 2 people to play, it should have had 8 in it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
But really, 10.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. If you're wanting to play with your friend, then you would probably both pick up starters. I know that there's some people locally who are... Like, he's planning on playing with his son,
mm-hmm.
and he's just going to get 1 starter and then plan on getting a lot of the character
expansions. And
then they'll make their roster and split up that way or whatever. So mm-hmm. that's another option. But yeah, get Oblivion, get Riot Quest. We have Warcry starters in stock. We still have Infernal Army boxes. Stock up, get that.
And now you have Aeronautica Imperialis.
We do. I'm surprised that Rick hasn't succeeded in getting you to purchase that yet.
Oh, I've already told him I'm going to purchase it.
He's still farming?
Yeah, that's the problem, is that there's no way we're going to play a game because...
Well, you need to...
Unless I get inside his GPS-enabled tractor that drives him around the field and we play in the back of it.
You should get like a tractor-sized table or something. You guys get in
there. I'm sure we could fit one in there. His tractor's huge. I've seen pictures of it. It always blows me away that he's like... basically sits and...
I'm working hard.
During harvest, and he's like playing all day on Facebook and crap while the tractor does the work. Just there to make sure that it doesn't run off into the middle of nowhere.
Okay, so this episode, we're going to talk about some WTC lists that caught our fancy. So, do you want to start, Trevor, or do you want me to?
I'm prepared.
I am too. It's a prepared off!
Go! I'll start. I'm going to start with a scorn list. And the list that sort of caught my eye, and I noticed that this is fairly common, but this is probably one of the more extreme lists. So I'm not going to say that I would play this, but the theme of the list, I shouldn't say that. The flavor of the list, yes. I think, is going to be something you're going to see more and more commonly.
I love it.
Okay,
what is the theme?
The theme is Disciples of Agony, which you probably could have guessed. The player is Chris Dalton from Canada Polar Bear. And so this is a Makeda 3 list. And you may not see Makeda 3 specifically, but I think she will be a common Disciples of Agony caster, and especially in this combination. And the two that I'm going to point out, and then we can kind of, you can fit in, but in this particular list, the two that are going to matter are Makeda 3 and the Battle Boar.
Is this the point where I get to bitch about the Archdon being as broken as the Clockatress?
It's not even close.
Or is it?
In this list, it is pretty amazing.
Really?
Yeah. So his list is Makeda 3.
Okay.
He has 6 Archdons.
Oh.
A Basilisk Skrea for free.
Okay. Wait, so like for free, that's the requisition?
That's the requisition, yeah.
Jeez.
Battle Boar. Aptimus Marketh for free as a requisition.
Okay.
An Agonizer is in the is the other requisition point, but it's on Zadesh, which we'll get to in just a moment.
Okay.
Okay. There's a Feralgeist, a Swamp Gobber Chef, a Swamp Gobber River Raider. There's Tyrant Zadesh with an Agonizer, which I already mentioned, and he's free as a requisition, and a Titan Gladiator. And then there are 2 min unit of Paingiver Beast Handlers. So let me take you on a little ride.
I'm not sure I want you to.
I want to. So Archdons are speed 7. Makeda with Insight makes them mat 8. And I'm forgetting their base power strength. I think it's 15.
It's 15, yeah. Yeah, 15. I've got the list pulled up here.
Okay, so it's 15. Paingiver Beast Sounder is going to move up, let them charge for free, and he's going to give them +2 to their strength.
Okay.
So they're going to be power and strength 19 at this point. 15 base, +2 from Insight, +2 from Enrage.
Okay.
Okay. So POW 19.
Did you primal them yet? Or
not yet. I'm just starting with my baseline here, Josh. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Sorry, who was doing Enrage again?
The Paingiver Beast Handlers.
They're just walking up to him. Yeah.
These
guys have long leash too. Amazing.
Yeah. So they're not going to really get out of your control area. Okay. They're going to be speed 7 at minimum. They're going to charge for free. So 10 and 1 inch melee. They threaten 11 without any other influence. Okay, so let's say I want to make them go farther. I want to get them to range 13. I cast Rush on them from the Gladiator or from Zadesh or both or whatever you want to do. And so now they threaten 13.
Oh, did you say Zadesh has the Gladiator?
Yeah, Zadesh has the Gladiator.
Okay, I missed that. Sorry.
That's okay. Or, as Josh already pointed out, if that's not enough and you want them to hit more consistently and hit harder, you need them to be mat 10, power and strength 21. You may use
Primal.
Yeah. What are you thinking there, Josh?
I think this is absolute BS.
Did you extend the threat range in any way? Did I miss that?
You can the rush.
Which gets them to
13.
So they threat 13. That's still not an unreasonable threat range.
No.
That seems like that's going to hit like a Mack truck, though.
I mean,
for a 10-point beast?
It's a 10-point beast, yeah. It charges for free and it has 3 fury. Right? They're 3 fury beasts, if I remember that correctly. Yeah. So you're going to buy 3 attacks.
Yeah, sorry. I'm still not at Clockatrice range, Jay. Tell me how that's as broken as the Clockatrice.
Because you can't kill them.
They are defense 14, and they can be knocked down. They have flight.
They'll be up to defense 16?
Yeah. if they're base to base with another one of them.
What?
She has...
Exactly! See?
No. I love that we've finally come to a point in our career where Jay is triggered by Scorn, and I'm not playing it.
Okay, so Bulwark.
She'll have Bulwark up. Okay. I mean, truthfully, they're going to be kind of crossing the board in a formation in which they're all base-to-base, which is damn near impossible with that model.
Yeah.
But pretend for a moment.
Pretend that you've modeled them with the wings straight up.
Yeah,
right.
they're base-to-base. They're going to be defense 16, and they can't be knocked down. And then you're going to send probably one off to go kill something, and then, you know, they'll have to deal with it.
Will it sprint even deeper?
I mean, it depends on how many attacks it needs to kill.
Right.
Whatever.
Man, she can just give out grievous wounds too.
Yeah, I mean, it can just do anything. All performative
griping aside,
art aside,
yes.
I will say that it seems like it's the type of list I would enjoy playing.
Truthfully, the reason I bring this list up is because if you look through the Scorn Disciples of Agony list, mm-hmm. you'll see a similar theme in a lot of them: the single battle boar.
Right.
And then a bunch of other things.
Oh, yeah. You're saying it's not always Archidons.
This is the only one that I noticed. That doesn't mean it's the only one.
So
it's
they're not bringing one. Wrestlers?
No.
The Battle Boar's better because it gives you the plus to hit and the damage, right?
I think there's a lot of times where it's not, in Scorn, where it's not necessary.
Oh.
So they're bringing a cheaper beast. The Archidons are faster than your average Scorn beast. Mm-hmm. So they're using those because they're cheap. And honestly, like I said, in most of the ones I saw, it was only like, three Archidons. Six is kind of the extreme.
A defense 16 heavy that can't be knocked down is...
Yeah, it's pretty reasonable.
It's not easy to deal with.
He's pretty easy to kill, honestly, if you can surpass that somehow. Like, if you can deal with the defense 16, like if you have boosted attack rolls or whatever.
Make it stationary or...
Yeah, any of those things, then it's very easy. It doesn't have a lot of boxes. Its armor's low.
That's like... Is that the cheapest heavy that there is? 10 points seems really cheap for heavy.
I can't remember if the nerf is 10 or 11.
Okay.
You're talking about beast, heavy beast.
Yeah, I guess I'm talking about beast. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's in there.
The nerf is up there as well.
Yeah, the nerf is close. Okay,
cool.
So,
right, well, that's fun.
This is basically taking that cheap.
So I could play this list too because it counts as minions.
Totally.
No, it doesn't. It's definitely a Scorn beast. Scorn caster.
definitely Scorn.
Definitely Scorn. But the point being is, I think you're going to see the caster plus battle boar in Disciples of Agony. In a lot of places. I think it's going to become kind of a staple and I'm not going to say that you won't see the wrestler thing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but I definitely, as I was looking through the WTC list, there was a common theme amongst the Scorn players, a lot of them playing a Disciples of Agony list, and the only minion beast they were taking was the battle boar. Was a single battle boar.
Yeah, interesting.
So,
cool.
Okay.
What do you got for us, Jay?
So, what I have for you, good sir, I'm actually going to talk about two lists by the same player.
Faction.
Grimkin. Basically, any list that Pat Dunford creates and takes to WTC interests me.
Okay.
And so...
Are we Bump or Dark Menagerie?
Both. We can start with Dark Menagerie. So he's always been a big fan of the Dreamer. It's interesting to see the evolution of the list post-Clockatry.
Okay.
So his list has the Dreamer, a Cage Rager, 4 Clockatry.
Slowish.
2 Krabbits as requisition. 1 Gorehound, 1 Skin and Moans. 3 Gremlin Swarms, not 4.
What?
Lady Caryana Rose, and a Death Knell.
I can't take this list seriously. It doesn't have right? 4.
So one of the things that was interesting is that previously when building his Dreamer list, Pat almost always opted to not take Lady Rose, and instead, but part of that was that in the old configuration, if you didn't take Lady Rose,
mm-hmm.
then it hit that sweet spot of you can get one more free card.
Oh, so this is the kind of the surprise now that we don't have to take, you know, exact points to meet these, to meet our requisition needs.
Oh, you're saying now the requisition makes her fit all of a sudden.
Well, it makes it so that you don't have, so before there was an incentive of you don't necessarily want to take Lady Rose in this list because it's costing you effectively
X amount of points,
a free card
yeah.
to do so. And you can't, you're not getting another free card.
Yeah, no matter, you're in three requisition choices, period.
So I thought that was interesting, that Lady Rose was back in there. She also obviously helps with him taking four Clockatrices, being able to enrage one of the Clockatrices and do signs importance. It helps with the punching through armor aspect of the list as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that that was a rather interesting evolution of the Dreamer.
Post-Oblivion, essentially.
Post-Oblivion list that...
do you think that that's going to become...
Pat's been kind of setting the meta of
Grimkin
since the start.
Sure.
And I expect that people will continue to follow his lead.
Right. You think that this is going to become a super common list,
yeah,
in tournament pairings. I agree. I think that it's going to be fairly common. Yeah.
So the next list, we have Bump of the Night with Old Witch. And we again have four Clockatry. And that's...
I saw several other lists, I think, that look just like this.
Yeah, and it doesn't... That's basically all of the battle group that she has.
Yeah, four Clockatry and Old Witch.
And then Baron Tunglick as the caster attachment. Has a Caskimp, a Grave Ghoul, two Trapperkin, two Malady Men, a Murder Crows, and then two units of Naysayers with command attachment.
Yeah, I saw, maybe it was the same list I saw, but I thought I saw it on another team. It's basically Old Witch 3 with two units of Naysayers, mm-hmm, and four Clockatry. And I don't remember all the other solos and
what
stuff
are
in
the
there.
Requisitions, Jay?
But similar feel.
The two Malady Man and then the two Trapperkin. So the Malady Man, are each of them is one requisition point, and then you get two Trapperkin for one requisition point. So I think it's interesting seeing
Grimkin evolve.
Yeah, Grimkin evolve, seeing a Bump in the Night. Obviously, it's had a lot of influence from both receiving a fair number of new models in the faction just before this change of the Oblivion style of lists, and then seeing how Oblivion changes lists as well.
Yeah, I mean, Clockatrice coming in are a big bonus, but the biggest bonus, though, I feel like, is the ability to kind of not have to worry about how many exact points of troops you have.
Jeez, respawn on the Clockatrice feels really rude. Is that really rude?
Sure. I'm not sure I agree with you, though, Trevor. I think that, like, the...
How many beast points does she have?
27.
How many of the Clockatry?
13, so that's 52. I mean, if you look at all the new models that he's playing with in his list that came out at the same time.
The Malady Men, the War Horses.
Yeah. You've got the Clockatrices, the Malady Man, the Grave Ghoul, and the two Naysayer command attachments.
Right.
And I think that...
But to get the equivalent of three free choices, he would have not been able to take four Clockatry previously.
Right. That's your point.
That's my point.
They're eating up 25 points outside of her beast points.
Yeah. That's my point, is that it feels like that the way that theme list was prior to Oblivion, I don't know that it would have been able to really do the same thing that it's doing right now because of those. I mean,
it didn't,
I agree that it's
that much, right, Jay? Bump?
No.
No, not a ton. Yeah. It was usually double mana, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool for Grimkin. They have an opportunity to play some new stuff that's neat. And, you know, I feel...
I think the
I feel bad for
players.
Clock.
The players that have been abused by Grimkin probably wouldn't call these lists neat.
They're unhappy about, you know, a second... Now they've got to deal with this, you know, potential second list that's actually good.
Right.
Like I said, I feel bad for Cock because it feels like, you know, Grimkin come
can
on the scene.
Can we get a little love?
Yeah, with like Grimkin come on the scene and they got one theme list they can play and they're like, all right, we'll help you out. We'll give you another one. And Cock is like, hey, wait a minute. I've been waiting longer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't, as someone who sells this product, I can't say that Private Press made the wrong decision. Granted, there's a new wave of Cock coming out shortly.
I'm sure you'll sell plenty of that.
And too. It will be interesting to see how that does, but I'm sure it will do well. Okay, Trevor, give us a list.
I thought it was Josh's turn.
He's like,
don't have a list?
I was preparing Dank Dune memes, and I mean, I can...
Knocking on doors.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. I have lists.
We can read one of the four minions lists.
So I will be honest. I was looking through the names and I'm like, all right, I have to take one of the Team Italy names. Like, I have to pick one of the lists out of the Team Italy group.
Okay.
Because they pick their... They, they're, I, I find it humorous.
Delicious.
The names they chose, which are Mario, Luigi, and Toad. Hats off to you. I'm glad that you've embraced.
Bravo.
Yeah. Anyway, so I picked a list from team, and it's, I will admit that I'm not sure whether it's good or not, but it's definitely one I'm going to try. And there's not many lists on the whole thing, you know, through WTC that I would actually, I'm going to throw on the table and try, but this one is one of them. This is from, I believe he's the captain of Team Luigi.
Nice.
Which is, and I'm sure I'm going to screw this up, but I believe it's Vincenzo Rotondo. So his list is a Crucible Guard list. And the one that I want to talk about is a Lucas list. So it is Magnum Opus, obviously. And it has Lucas, two Liberators, which are the Arc Nodes, has two Toros, which are the countercharging heavies. It has Alice, has a Mechanic, has the Hermit of Henchhold, has Hutchuck as one of the requisition options. Alice was a requisition option as well. Two Trancers as a requisition option. Two full units of Crucible Guard Stormtroopers, two Dragon's Breath Rockets, and then Linus and Adria with Mosby attached to keep Lucas from killing himself.
What? Oh, because why? What do they do?
Heal him.
Oh, interesting. Lucas is the juice bro, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And so we've not seen a lot of Lucas in Crucible Guard, period. I mean, I think...
Because he kills himself, basically?
No, because he doesn't really have a game plan.
Oh.
So
what? How does this list give him a game plan?
This is a little different. I'm going to explain why, but just... From a Crucible Guard perspective, there was a little, just not a lot, but there was a little bit of buzz for him when Crucible Guard first came out. A lot of people tried it.
Well, for a long time, he was one of the early ones to release.
One of the early releases, so he's one of the few casters that people could actually play.
Sure.
There was a lot of people who were like, this just doesn't work, and you quickly stopped hearing anything about him. And I haven't seen a thread about Lucas in the Crucible Guard.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that, like, amongst other factions, it would be like... How do we make
this work?
And so work? And the Crucible Guard's like, yeah, we just don't care about Lucas.
You don't hear. Nobody pops in and says, how do we make Lucas work? Everyone's just like, yeah, no, just don't worry about it. So anyway, I do like this, though. So what it could do is reduce your armor with Lucas's spell, which is Disintegration. Can reduce your armor with the Dragon's Breath Rocket. And then with the 10... Crucible Guard Stormtroopers, they can aim, shoot out to 14, and when they aim, they're Rat 8, and they're Power and Strength 14. So they'd be the equivalent of Power and Strength 18, and they can resist being shot. If you move Hermit of Henchhold up and use his ability and combo all that together, you're now talking about a 6-point swing, and you're being hit 6 times with Power and Strength 20 shots from the Crucible Guard Stormtroopers. They also deal quite well with low armor stuff, as they have... can I think of what the ability is called? Powten Blast, whatever that is. Anyway, is it good? No, probably not. Is it interesting? Yes, I think it's interesting. I want to try it.
Wait. Because if we can be talking about stuff that's not good, yeah, I got lists. I'm ready.
All right, but it may actually be good. But I definitely think that it's potentially really good against hordes.
Okay,
where you have beasts that you can guarantee that the rockets. He has no Hutchuck is his only source of rust.
Okay.
Which I do feel like is kind of a particular issue with this list.
Sure, yeah.
If I were playing it, I might even trade out a Toro for
Sprayjack.
Suppressor. But I need to try it first, and I would try it the way he's built it, because it feels like it can put out enough. I don't know that he necessarily needs to ever try to assassinate you when he can just debuff you and then kill you with two units of Stormtroopers.
So I know that this is supposed to be... us going over WTC lists, but we have to have a little digression.
Oh, okay.
I love when Jay surprises us so much.
Oh my God. So this digression.
Is this like breaking news, Jay?
No, okay. It's just, so on the War Machine and Hordes in the general group, there was, granted, it seems like anything can blow up at this point in that group, but there's a topic that blew up. It had like
scads of responses.
Okay. So let me read you a spell that's on the card of one Fiona the Black.
Okay.
Okay. Befuddle.
She's a Merc Cenari, right?
She is a Merc Cenari. And she is, you know, there's lots of hot new themes that you can play her in.
Because she's
had a rework.
Right?
She's Thamorite.
Yeah.
There's the privateer stuff coming out, etc. So,
okay.
So here's Befuddle. Cost 2, range 10. On hit, you can immediately advance target enemy non-Warcaster, non-Warlock, non-Infernal Master model. By the way, that's quickly becoming a pet peeve. Like, we need some fucking keyword instead of saying...
For casters.
Yes.
I agree.
You can advance them up to 3 inches. Affected models cannot be targeted by free strikes during this movement. A model can only move once per turn as a result of Befuddle.
Okay.
Okay. So, here's... This is by far a tertiary part of the puzzle.
Sorry, just one moment, because I was not necessarily listening. It has to hit, and then it doesn't have to damage.
It's not a...
It doesn't do damage.
Let me pull it back up. I'm pretty sure it's not a damaging spell.
It's on a hit.
It does no damage. It's just you hit the model, and then they advance 3 inches.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Kalandra.
Kalandra has it.
Yes. Yeah, Kalandra has it, and she's the only one I've ever played it with, so that's where my frame of reference is from. And she has another spell that damages, which is why I was kind of confusing the two.
Okay, so another... This is not really part of the combo at all, but it just kind of makes it a little bit worse. So one of the new solos, one of the many solos that is now available... is the Stillhead Ironhead, and he has Power Lifter. Once per turn at any time during its activation, this model can choose one other friendly faction, large base or smaller model within 2 inches of it, and you can place that model anywhere completely within 2 inches of its current location. And if it's knocked down, it immediately stands up, and it unless it became knocked down this turn. A model can only be moved by Power Lifter once per turn. Okay, so here's what people are losing their mind about. So let's say that I'm playing Fiona. Fiona has an ability where she can make non-Morrowan models cultists.
Okay.
And she has another ability where she can arc through warrior models, kind of like Tubby McFatpants can.
Mm-hmm.
But she also has another ability where if she's arcing through her cultists, then it doesn't die when she arcs through it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So A, she has good arc notes.
Some might say the best in the game.
Okay. So then let's say that she takes 2, maybe 3 Tauros. And then they power lift her forward these Tauros 2 inches with the place. And then the arc node moves up and you befuddle something and it comes 3 inches forward. If you do a close reading of befuddle, you will notice that at no point do you take possession of said model. And this is an enemy advance, and you move within the Tauros.
Countercharged.
And you get countercharged.
Okay.
And...
I love everything about the stupid interactions.
And the part that is truly upsetting people... Well, first of all, Jason Souls has responded and said that this is fine. We don't need to... fix this. This is not an issue.
Okay.
Where everyone else is like, you know, this really, all you need is one simple little sentence in here.
So I have a kind of a core issue with the way it's being interpreted, and that's that if it does not become your model to move, then you shouldn't be able to dictate where it moves to. There is no other effect in the game that allows you to take an enemy model. That's not true. Teleport allows you. TK allows you to place them.
So again, here's the wording of it. On hit, you can immediately advance target enemy non-caster model up to 3 inches. Affected models cannot be targeted by free strikes during this movement. A model can only move once per turn as a result of befuddle.
Are you saying that
even
simple?
It even clearly states in there that this is an enemy model.
Are you saying that the simple phrasing could just be place it?
No.
Oh, no.
Should say take control of.
Yeah, you take control of. If it is a friendly model, then you cannot countercharge it.
Right.
And the part that's... So, you know, getting the countercharge on there, that sucks. But the part that really sucks is that you are basically giving these 2, 3 Tauros, whatever, an extra
move.
Eight inches of movement. And
plus the 2 from the place.
Well, right.
Yeah,
the 2
you're
from
saying
the
with the power lifter.
Right.
They have to be within 6, so it's only it's
right.
But the way they charge, you can charge to the
past
side.
Opponent. Right. And so then they do that counter charge And then they go deeper in and they start getting everything that you hold dear will die. And then Fiona feats and says, you get
nothing.
You Willy get nothing.
Wonka, you stole the schnozberries.
Yes.
You get nothing.
So I'm not even sure why I'm sharing this because I don't want to see it proliferate, but I do own both Fiona and a bunch of Toros. And I don't know why.
I don't know why I haven't played this yet.
So there you go. That was my little contribution of unexpected joy.
Of digression.
Yes. Do you want to do another list or do you want me to do one?
Well, Trevor's done his three, right?
No.
Oh, you got three of them,
but Jay's only done one.
I'll do a quick one.
Okay.
So this one, I have no fucking idea if it's good. I just love this theme list.
Hey, that's what I did the last one. I loved what they did with the list. I don't think it's good, but I want to see it on the table.
So this is a Warriors of the Old Faith theme list.
Okay.
And I love this theme list. I think it's a cool theme list. And I honestly have, like, you could sit 10 Warriors of the Old Faith lists in front of me, and I'd probably be like, oh yeah, that's really cool. And I would have no fucking clue on any of them if they're any good. Right.
I actually saw quite a few Warriors of the Old Faith lists as I was looking through. I was looking specifically through, My list that we're going to cover is a Harby list that's not in Warriors of the Old Faith, obviously. But a lot of the pairings I saw with Harby were Warriors of the Old Faith quite frequently.
Right,
so.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay, so this is a Kador one. We have Vlad III with a Devout, a Grolar, the Hermit, a Manite Archon, Ulan Kovnik Markov, two Vassal Mechanics, two Rax, Yuri the Axe, a Choir of Menoth Men, two Max Ironfane Ulongs, Ulans, and two Wintergard fun carriages.
This list would blow my mind.
Yeah, I know. Seeing it on the
just
table.
The mix would be like, it would just blow my mind.
Yeah, I agree. Amazing. I would be like, what just happened? Why am I seeing these combinations of things? Why do you have choir?
Right, I mean, I have no fucking clue if this is a good list, but I just, totally I think it's rad. Really cool.
Okay, I do have a list. I want you guys to tell me. I want you to tell me how much fun I would have with this list, okay?
Okay.
I'll be brief. It's Blindwater Congregation.
You don't have to be brief.
It'll be brief. It's going to be quick. So it's Malak the Dreadbound, okay? I'm going to tell you about his battle group last. He's got two Gatorman Witch Doctors, three Min Posse, one Max Posse.
Okay.
Kind of what you expect to see with the new Malak, right? His battle group. He's got his Soul Slave, a Bull Snapper, a Black-Eyed Wrestler, and the Dracodile. And I'm like, I'm just sitting here trying to look at it. I'm like, why? Other than it would be so hilarious. Like, I just don't see that he does very much for the Dracodile or vice versa.
He gives an armor bonus on feet turn.
Okay. Is that enough? Is that enough for me to have fun?
Maybe.
He could give it Soul Harvester.
Which one's Soul Harvester?
When target friendly faction model unit destroys a living enemy model with a melee attack, the spellcaster gains the destroyed model soul token regardless of the proximity of other models.
That doesn't seem like a good choice.
Just assault in there, baby. Get wild. All right, that's all. I thought it was rad. Thank you, Russia, for bringing some Malak.
Okay, so the list I want to talk about, and it's one that feels like is flying
under the radar.
I don't want to say under the radar because it's not completely under the radar. I think most people are aware of it. Most people are concerned about it. But it just is not being talked about, especially right now. It's not in the public zeitgeist, you know, or zeitgeist. Yeah. It's not Clockatrices. It's not the Hermit.
It's not Hermit. What theme did you say this is?
This is Faithful Masses.
Okay.
And I've seen these, there's a bunch of these lists and they're all very similar, but they're you know, there's a few points off in some of them. But I just grabbed one of them that I thought was interesting. But they're all very similar. I saw I didn't look through all of them, but at least five Faithful Masses Harby One lists that had a very similar build. I mean, they were a few of them, you know, different model here, different model there, but they at the core, they were very similar. So let me go.
Real quick, I need to interject something. I failed to say this was a list. The list I did was from Benjamin C.
Uh-huh.
And he was a Malaysian Tigers player.
Oh, nice. And that was the Warriors of the Old Faith list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's going to have an amazing jersey that Trevor will not have.
Thanks for rubbing it in.
Okay. Continuing on.
Okay. So this list is by Paul Watson of England Lions.
Okay.
Okay. And it's a Faithful Masses list, Harby 1. So Harby's battle group,
mm-hmm.
Judicator.
Nice.
Harpy has a Hierophant with her.
What's the requisition?
Two units of Initiates of the Wall, and which most of these lists, I will say, most of these lists have three. The three Initiates of the Wall as their requisition choices.
Okay.
This particular one does not, but most of them, that's the most common that I saw as I looked through these Harpy lists.
Okay.
So this particular one I like because he has Kicking Monks.
As one of the requisitions?
No. He just has Kicking Monks in his list. And
they're the best.
I absolutely hate seeing Kicking Monks across the table.
I hate them so much.
Yeah, I hate them too.
And then they make their fucking tough check, and I just want to die.
Yeah. So as I read the list off of models that are in the list, and I'm going to include the requisition models I just listed.
Yeah.
Did I tell you the third requisition?
No, you didn't.
It's Villamon.
You got distracted by hate.
I did. So it's Villamon.
Dude, Villamon shouldn't even be requisitionable, but whatever.
Okay. Okay, so as I read through these, I want you to just think in your mind how many of these you do not want to be martyred. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So yeah. Two Kicky Monks, okay. Allegiance of the Order of the Fist.
Got him.
Okay. Two Champions of the Order of the Wall.
Oh, brutal.
High Paladin Darton Villamon. Two Menite Archons. The Covenant of Menoth. Two Vassal Mechanics. Two Racks, a Min Choir, the Idrian Skirmishers, and Chieftain and Guide. That's a Min unit of Idrian Skirmishers and Chieftain and Guide. And then, like I mentioned before, the two Initiates of the Wall units. So basically, besides the mechanics and Racks, everything there I would rather that she didn't martyr.
Use her ability.
Yeah, and she's going to use it on all of them. So one of the common things you'll see instead of Judicator is like three Crusaders is it Crusader? Crusader's the 10-point jack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen three or four Crusaders in there. Quite frequently, it's three Initiates of the Wall units as requisition. The Idrian Skirmishers are sometimes max, sometimes min. There's just a bunch of these lists, and they all kind of feel the same. They usually have a Menite Archon in there, at least one. You know, they obviously have the book. But this was one of the few that actually had Kicking Monks in it. Most of them had other things. But I look at that, and I'm like, there's nothing here that I want to see. You know, I just do not want to have to face off against a Judicator and a bajillion guys that are a pain in the ass to kill in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then Harpy's like, no, I don't think I'm going to let that one die.
No, I forget. Grievous Wounds will stop martyrdom?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It will not make them easy to kill.
No. You got to overcome what you can overcome.
This is one of those lists that's kind of, again, I don't want to say flying under the radar per se, because I know.
Because fuck this.
Yeah, most people kind of know it's out there, but it's not like, I don't see a lot of posts saying, what do I do to deal with this? Because, you know, everyone's talking clocks right now. But I'm looking at this going, I don't really want anything to do with that. And I play Crucible Guard, and I feel like I probably have more tools to deal with that than the average player.
Yeah.
And I'm still like, I don't want to deal with that shit.
Okay. So my next set of lists are from Matt McMatt.
Are you serious?
That's how he submits his lists all the time for whenever I see them to put up on DGI. I do end up correcting it to Matt McWaters.
Oh, okay.
Evidently his nickname is Matt McMatt. Okay, so Matt just took third place at a big event playing Infernals.
Okay,
nice.
And he is bringing Infernals to
the WTCC.
Okay, so here.
Sorry, can we just talk really quickly about what key models aren't out yet in Infernals at WTC? Do you kind of have an idea of what's...
So some of the big ones are... You're not going to have some of the solos. So, for example,
Princess?
The Great Princess won't be out.
She's still not.
Rogier won't be out. And we still don't have Nissia or Runewood on the release schedule.
Okay.
Those are... And the other big one that won't be out by then is the medium base unit, the Howlers.
Okay. Okay.
So, I would say the Howlers, Rogier, and the Great Princess are the three most noteworthy
significant
things.
Ones.
Okay.
Yeah. So... Both these lists are Dark Legacy lists. I think that the Howlers are likely going to be important in a lot of Hearts of Darkness lists.
Okay.
Oh.
So, first one, we have Zadaroth. I think it's interesting. I've been playing, I think that my opponents are potentially getting a little bit sick of facing off against Lamenters, but he doesn't have any Lamenters in.
Who might you be talking about, I wonder?
Either of his lists. So Zadaroth has a Foreboder, which is the Arknode, two Soulstalkers, which are
the heavies,
the worm snaky. Looking.
The, yeah. Yeah, the Serpentine and Gather Souls. Then he has Eilish Garrity, Hermit of Henchhold, three Wretches, three Umbral Guardians, Valenhawk, which is the Death Knight, a Min unit of Cultists with...
Orin?
No, with the...
weapon attachment.
Weapon attachment, three okay. Weapon attachments. And then a Max Cultist with Orin, a Min Griever Swarm, and an Infernal Gate.
Okay.
I'm
trying to imagine the things that this is going to do to me, and I'm not exactly sure what it's doing, but I don't like it.
Okay, that's fair. Sure.
It's...
Did the Soulstalkers hit pretty heavy?
What's that?
No, not really.
What's Zadaroth's feat again? That's the plus three defense. It's the
plus three defense and get blazed. And so they're going to be like 16 defense on the Soulstalkers, and they have stealth.
And can't be knocked down, and yuck.
I don't like it.
I actually do think that the two Soulstalkers in the starting battle group is pretty interesting with Zadaroth.
Yeah.
Next list we have is Amadamos with four Tormentors, which is the Crab Hands Heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Eilish Garrity, Hermit of Henchhold, three Wretches, two Umbral Guardians, Valenhawk, a Min Cultist Band with the three weapon attachments, a Min Cultist Band with Orin Minwinter, and an Infernal Gate.
Wait, did you not say any Wretches in there?
Three Wretches.
Oh, three Wretches. Okay. Yeah. So how many souls or...
Mark Souls.
Mark Souls does he have in that list?
Six plus Valenhawk.
Okay. So still has potential, a lot of potential to make even more heavies.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that, so some of the lists I've been playing have been like four or five Lamenters as my starting battle group.
Right.
And him having four Tormentors as his starting battle group, I thought was kind of interesting. And just in general, it's, you know, I don't feel like there's necessarily any set lists yet for Infernals by any means.
Right.
And so it's interesting to see some of the first lists that people are taking to competitive events in the faction.
Even if there was something that was sort of set, it's obviously going to change as more models start coming out as well.
Yep. So, was there anything else you guys wanted to go over?
I don't think so. Okay. I didn't get a chance to look through all the lists, so there's some out there.
There's a lot of others that would be interesting. Yeah, that would be
very
over.
Interesting. When I post this
and to actually, it might be interesting for us to do another episode similar to this.
Sure. When I posted this on the Chain Attack Facebook page, one of the lists that the guy brought up was the Veil One list. And I thought about it, thought about discussing it here, but I honestly didn't feel like I had enough knowledge about Mark III Veil One to make anything intelligent about it. But it looks interesting, and you know, it's been a while since I've looked at a Veil One list and thought, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so fair. And like I said, that came from somebody else posting it, because I didn't see it. I didn't even look for it, I guess. But there's a lot of lists to look for, and
it's a lot of data.
Yeah, and there's no way that you can get through all of it very quickly. So yeah. It's just a lot of stuff to try to digest.
Yeah, there's a Carver list that we can talk about later too.
No, I don't have a problem doing it again. I can kind of. We can even, you know, go a little deeper. I already, you know, shot my Lucas wad, but we could find some stuff that we think is, you know, counterintuitive to the meta.
Sure.
And potentially discuss that, because that's, I mean, the Veil One list I think is counterintuitive to the meta.
I think it would be interesting to talk about like a Troll Blood list or something like that as well.
Sure.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Josh, do you have a dad joke for us?
Well, I mean, I don't want to brag, Jay, but I've discovered that I have this weird talent for guessing what's inside a wrapped present.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a gift.
That's beautiful.
It's got layers to it. It's wrapped in many ways.
Do you have anything for us, Trevor?
No.
It's the dad joke that keeps on giving.
It's true.
we'll be back with more Dank Doom memes and dad jokes.
Content that entertains us and we hope entertains you.
And hopefully some WTC lists or something interesting
It'll
as well.
It'll be a true fan's Christmas.
Yeah. So on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.